Unit 4, Going to School. 1. Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words and phrases will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Counselor. 2. Make the grade. 3. Quit. 4. Term. 5. Concentrate. 6. Intelligent. 7. Go to pieces. 8. Strict. 9. Requirement. 10. Goody, goody.
B. A school counselor in a high school is trying to understand exactly what Sam's problem is. Listen to their conversation and decide whether the following statements are true or false. Put T or F in the brackets.
I won't be able to do the exam tomorrow. I just don't feel that I'm ready.
You say that you don't feel ready for tomorrow's exam. What do you feel like right now?
Well, I'm angry with myself because I'm going to have to quit the exam and, well, I guess I'm anxious. Yes, I feel very anxious.
When you think about this anxiety, what image do you have of yourself?
Well, I see myself trying to explain to my dad why I didn't make the grade on this course. And I see him getting angry. And, well, I start to feel I've let him down again.
You don't feel ready for your exam. You feel anxious. And you don't want to let your dad down again. Tell me about the last time you let your dad down.
Oh, well, it was a year ago. He'd entered me for a chess competition, and I got knocked out in the first match. He was angry because he'd told all his friends how good I was.
What did you tell him as an explanation when you lost the chess game?
I told him that I wasn't ready to play in that league.
And now you are preparing to tell him that you're not ready to sit this examination?
Yes, I suppose I am.
Okay, Sam. So what you are saying to me is that you feel reluctant to take the exam tomorrow because you do not like the thought of having to explain a poor grade or a failure to your father. Is that right, Sam?
Yes, that's exactly it.
C. You are going to hear Mr. and Mrs. Thompson discussing their daughter's work in Parkway Secondary School with her class teacher. Listen carefully. Fill in the missing comments and information on the school report form. Write only one word for each blank.
Oh, hello. You must be Tracy's parents.
Yes. Are you her class teacher, Mrs. Daniels?
Yes, that's right. Now just let me find my notes. As you know, I don't actually teach Tracy, but I do see her every day before classes begin. Is there anything you want to ask me?
Well, yes. To be honest, we're a bit worried about her last report. She doesn't seem to be doing as well as she was.
Well now, let's see. Oh yes, her math teacher says she's finding the work more difficult now that they're getting near to the exams.
I was never any good at math.
And Dr. Baker feels that Tracy isn't concentrating very hard in biology lessons.
Oh, but she really likes biology. And she's so good at drawing.
Yes, but even in art, her teacher thinks she tends to spend too much time talking to her friends. In fact, several of her teachers have told me that she isn't giving in her homework. Mr. Brock has complained to me that he hasn't had a single piece of geography homework from her all term.
Yes, we don't know what to do about it. She doesn't seem to be interested in school anymore.
I don't think we should give up on her. Tracy's a very intelligent girl. In English, her marks are well above the average, and her teacher says she always has a lot to say in lessons.
Yes, that's part of Tracy's trouble. She talks too much.
Well, nevertheless, oral skills are very important, and if we can all guide her back to a more positive attitude to schoolwork, she'll do very well.
Well, I hope so. I'm very disappointed in her. She was doing so well, especially in English and French. And now everything seems to be going to pieces. She came bottom of the class in French this term.
Well, it's not because she can't do French. She just prefers to chat in English. At least she's doing well in sport. She's in the hockey team, and you know we haven't lost a single match this year.
Well, it's nice to know she does something well.
Oh, come now, Mr. Thompson. Let's look on the bright side.
Part 2. The Teacher I Remember Best. A. You are going to hear someone telling you his most memorable teacher. Listen to the first part of the monologue. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the left-hand column. After the second listening, answer each of the following questions in no more than 3 words or numbers.
If the teacher I remember best was a teacher I had for French when I was at school. Many years ago. More years than I care to remember, I'm afraid. Yes, I studied French with him for, let me see, it must have been 5 years, because I had him when I was in my first year there, when I was 13, and he was the main French teacher till I left. It was mainly because of him that I went on to study languages, French and German, at university. I mean, French was really the first language I ever learned. Well, I don't count Latin, because I never managed to speak any Latin at all. This teacher didn't make it easy. He didn't make it easy at all, but I found that with him, I really learned a lot. When I think back, I don't really know why I liked him so much. Because he was very strict with us. He made us work very hard. I mean, lots of grammar exercises, vocabulary tests, that sort of thing. And he wasn't very friendly either for the first 2 or 3 years. Well, as well as that, he didn't really try to make the classes interesting. I mean, no video, of course, in those days, no cassettes, but we had a few films in French every term. No, in fact, the only time we really practiced trying to speak French was with the wife of one of the music teachers, who was French, and she gave us an hour's conversation class every week. But, you know, because of that man, some people might say in spite of him, no, that wouldn't be fair. No, but quite a lot of us began to like France and the French a lot and to visit France in the summer holidays to see it for ourselves.
B. Listen to the second half of the monologue. While listening for the first time, take notes in the notes column. After the second listening, complete the following chart.
Yes, I think with him I learned that when you learn a foreign language, it's like opening a door or a window into a foreign country. Now that's good for you, I think, because you begin to see that the way they do things and think in your country isn't necessarily the only way, or indeed the best way. It's funny, I still have a very clear picture of that teacher. He was English, but he didn't look English somehow. He had very, very black hair and very dark eyes. And he wore glasses with black frames, but you could see his eyes very well. And everyone in the class always had the feeling that he was looking at them. And he had very thick, bushy eyebrows that made him look very, very serious. As I remember, he was very musical. Played the piano very well and sang. Now, he was quite a good rugby and tennis player. A great family man, too. He had 3 children and a very interesting wife. I suppose he must have been in his 30s when I knew him.
C. Now listen to the whole monologue again. Answer the question, why can't I forget the French teacher? Part 3. Teachers and Pupils. A. You are going to hear Christine telling you the advantages and disadvantages of teaching as a job. While listening for the first time, add more keywords in the notes column. After the second listening, complete the following chart.
Christine teaches in a secondary school. What does she enjoy about being a teacher?
I enjoy the fun you have. I enjoy the unexpected, the things that you can't plan for. When we were at college, I think the only thing that they kept on about was planning lessons and we used to have to make these lesson plans up, and they always seemed to me like the great works of modern fiction, the lesson plans, because real lessons aren't like that. They don't work out the way you plan them, and that's what makes it really interesting, is that you just go in, thinking you're going to do thing A, and it turns into thing B, depending on what the students do and say. And they're also so funny. Yeah, I mean, students are terribly entertaining. They're just a hoot. And they come out with all these amazing things, and they tell you things. And if you're any good at that, they will trust you as a person. And so what you're teaching them in English is much less important than what you're teaching them about the big world and the world they're going into, and about relationships and values and things like that. I think the only downside is that it's terribly hard work, and it's awfully tiring physically and emotionally at times. But children are just such nice people, and if you treat them properly, then they'll do anything. You can turn them into anything you want if you treat them well and you develop appropriate relationships with them. Then there's very little that they can't learn and can't do. And a good teacher can take children into a whole world which is magic and exciting. B. Now you are going to hear Christine telling you the changes that have taken place in the relationship between teachers and pupils. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the notes column. After the second listening, complete the following flow diagrams.
What changes have taken place in the relationship between teachers and pupils since she was at school?
I think that there has been a real change in the quality of relationships. I think they're much more open, more relaxed, less formal. Some people would say that implies a drop in the standards. I would disagree violently with that. I think that quality relationships bring quality work, and familiarity does not breed contempt. Care and control are not opposites. If you care for children, you manage your classroom well, and it is a well-ordered classroom. It doesn't mean it is not a relaxed classroom. It's not a friendly classroom. It's not a supportive classroom. What matters is that there's a good quality of relationship between the teacher and the student, and the student trusts the teacher as an individual, and vice versa. And I think teachers have become more human and more open with their students, and are more prepared to allow the students to know more about them as individuals. Students are involved much more in their own progress and their own assessment. They have a voice in their programs of study and their progress. And that voice has always been a vital voice, and the teachers who failed to take that on board, who didn't listen to student feedback, were losing out on a whole valuable resource for planning and developing work. It's how the students are receiving the work. And I think one of the big changes has been the handing over of some of the responsibility in the classroom to children. But it does, I think, demand more skill, not less. I think it's much harder to take risks with youngsters, to be open, to be relaxed. It's easy to run an authoritarian classroom. It's easy to rule using fear and punishment and threat. But winning and earning the respect of children and earning a relaxed relationship and relaxed classroom, that's much harder. A relaxed classroom isn't about low expectations. It's about purposeful, quality work. And it's very, very hard to achieve. It's much easier to bully them into submission and shout at them. C. Now listen to the whole speech again. According to Christine, what makes a good teacher? Part 4. More about the topic, computers and university life. The following short passage is about the relationship between computers and university life. Supply the missing words while listening.
Computers are an increasing part of life in colleges and universities. Many students and teachers depend on their electronic brains. Computers can search the world for information stored in electronic libraries and the Internet computer system. They can help solve complex scientific problems. They can also make simpler tasks easier, like writing reports and letters. American colleges and universities spent more than $1,000 million on computers last year. They also spent almost $900 million on computer programs. Some colleges and universities require each student to own a computer. Some give computers to their students. Computers are used a lot for electronic mail, called email. Some professors like to communicate with their students or receive reports by email. Students also write to friends and family. Students use the Internet computer system to do research. And at some schools, students can use their computers to learn their grades and to sign up for classes. In fact, with computers, students do not even have to go to class anymore. The class can come to them. Paul Levinson is a communications professor. He also helps run an organization called Connected Education. It teaches college classes in English, history, and other subjects by computer. More than 5,000 students have taken these classes since 1985. For such a class, a professor prepares information for students to read on their computers any time of day or night. Students also learn the requirements of the class. They communicate with the professor and other students by email. Professor Levinson says the students can learn as much or more in 2 months as they can in 3 or 4 months of traditional classes. Yet, he admits there are limits with this technology. Many who take computer-based classes are known as non-traditional students. These students are generally older and have a job and a family to support. 40% of higher education students in America now are non-traditional.
Part 5. Memory Test. Children of a Decade. Jack and Shirley are appearing on a radio program about childhood. They are both going to be interviewed about their memories. Listen carefully. Complete the following chart by filling in Jack and Shirley's answers to each question listed.
In this edition of our series, Children of a Decade, I'll be talking to Jack Thompson, who was born in 1940, and to Shirley Sutton, who was born in 1930. First of all, Jack, thanks for joining us. Perhaps you'd tell us about your memories of your first holiday away from home.
At age 10, I think I was, yes, I went to stay with an aunt at the seaside. Well, it wasn't a very happy experience. I felt very homesick at first.
Mm-hmm. And what about your first day at school? Can you remember that?
Yes, I can. I was 5 years old and I wanted to take all my toys with me, but they wouldn't let me. In the end, it was agreed that I could take my teddy, but only on the first day.
Oh, I see. Your school days, were they happy ones?
Well, I didn't have a very good time at school. I wasn't very bright, you see, and the teachers didn't seem to like me, but I made a lot of friends, and some of them I still keep in touch with. One of them I married.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, did you have a favourite teacher?
Miss Robinson. Or was it... No, it was Miss Robson. My first teacher, that's right. Yeah, very kind. Marvellous storyteller.
Who was your worst teacher?
Mr. Goodman. That's right. We used to call him Goody. Yeah, he pulled your ear if you made a mistake or talked in class. Yeah, my left ear is still bigger. Look.
Perhaps you can tell us about your last day at school.
My last day? Oh, yeah, that's emblazoned on my mind. I wanted to get my own back, you see, on old Mr. Goodman. You know, a chap we used to call Goody. So I put this bucket of water over the classroom door. But it fell on him and he got soaked, you see. I've never seen anyone so angry. That was a good one.
Thank you very much, Jack. And now, Shirley.
Yes.
Now, can you tell me about your first holiday away from home?
Oh, yes. At the age of 8, it was. We went on holiday to the Lake District. We stayed at a little guest house, just me and my parents. I remember we had honey for breakfast with the toast and... Oh, and porridge. Oh, I hated it.
Oh, porridge. You hated it. Well, what about your first day at school?
Well, I don't remember any special incidents. I was very frightened and shy at first. I know that, I can remember, but I soon came to enjoy school.
So your school days, were they happy?
Oh, yes, I loved school. Oh, I was sorry when half term came and when the holidays came. Oh, perhaps this was because I was a bit of a goody-goody.
And what about your teachers? Did you have a favourite?
I did, yes, I remember her well. She was called Miss Brown, and she was our history teacher. Oh, she really made history come to life. She really did.
Mm-hmm. Were there any bad moments? Did you have a worse teacher?
Aye, I did. And I can remember her name, too. Her name was Mrs. Sharp, and she taught maths. Oh, she had no patience. I wasn't all that good at maths, and she always said to me, "You stupid girl." It put me off maths for life.
What a shame.
I know.
Perhaps you could tell me about your last day at school.
Oh, yes, well, I'm afraid I cried. We sang our favourite hymn at the end of the term, and I cried. It brought the tears to my eyes.
Oh, and it's bringing a tear to my eye now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you too, Jack Thompson. Thank you very much. Next week, we'll be hearing from two people who were born in 1920 and 1910. So from me, Libby Freeman, goodbye. 听力课堂, 听class.com